Hello, I'm Veronica Scaresbury. I'd like to join someone who has made it her business in life to be creative. Her name is Pierre de Richemont. Just listen to my conversation with her as she tells me how she went from being contemplative to creative. So, Pierre, I think you have a story to tell, no? You went from being contemplative to creative. Would you agree?
Yes, I would agree that that's the way round, because my first love was God. And I think everything else followed from that.
Tell me about this love for God. Where did it take you?
Well, I was in London at the time, and my best friend's mother was dying of cancer. And I thought, this isn't on. So on my way back from school every day, I'd stop off at the local parish and go and pray and say, well, you know, what's going on? Do something. But then I got into the habit of talking to God, and I'd sort of spend, you know, 10 minutes, quarter of an hour, half an hour talking to God. And this became just like a normal thing. And I guess that was, well, that was the beginning of my contemplative life. It just hasn't really stopped since.
But you actually went into a convent.
I went into a convent much later, when I was 25. I thought I had a vocation to the Carmelites, and I was a postulant there for nearly a year.
Where was this, in England?
This was in Yorkshire, yeah.
Have joyful memories?
Very joyful, yes. I think the nuns there are the happiest bunch of women I've ever met in my life. You know, funny, intelligent, and holy. I mean, you can't really do better than that.
But you were contemplative, so it was quite a rough, sort of severe sort of lifestyle.
It's a silent life, but you do have a 2.5 hours of what's called recreation per day, where you can talk, and we had lots of fun during those recreations, just laughing and making little plays and acting, and it was fun. It was fun as well as hard.
Why did you decide to leave? May I ask you that question?
Of course. I realised, basically, that I wanted to get married. It boiled down to that.
So did you get married afterwards?
I did get married, yes.
To the person you had in mind, or...?
No, to someone I hadn't met at the time.
When you entered the convent, what were you doing? Were you already working as an artist?
I was working at Columbia Pictures, making movies, and earning, you know, very good living with a dashing boyfriend, you know, living it up. But already at the age of 11, I'd thought, well, you know, maybe the religious life is for me. And then I discovered boys, so sort of forgot about that. But it kept on just sort of lingering in my mind. So I thought, look, you've got to go and get this out of your system one way or another. So I gave it all up and went into the Carmel.
It's quite a feat, entering the Carmel, even if it's for a year, isn't it?
Well, when I went in, I thought it was for life. Yes, I think not enough people actually try. I mean, you've got nothing to lose by going in, and it is such an extraordinary life. In fact, when I left, I promised the nuns that one day I would write something about my time there, because so much rubbish is written by... By nuns who've left a convent, and they throw out, you know, the baby with the bathwater. So it's not only they've got it in for the convent and the nuns and God and religion. And I think that's sad, because, you know, whatever their personal experiences might have been, religious life is a fantastic way of living. And I, you know, I plan to write that in one of my plays or stories. I will tell that story.
Because you're a writer as well, are you?
I'm a writer. I've started writing plays. In fact, one's about to tour.
So when I said that you were an eclectic artist, I've been to your site and I've seen that you're a sculptor, an artist in the sense of a painter, photographer.
Yes.
And what comes first?
God comes first.
So do you draw your inspiration from God, in other words, whatever you do?
Yes, in some way or another. You know, God is present in everyone you meet, in creation, everywhere.
Is there a hallmark, do you think, in all the different areas you work in terms of your artistic work?
That it's positive. I like
joyful.
It's joyful, and I like happy endings. You know, there's lots of films, plays nowadays that are very factual and very realistic, but you come out and you feel sad and down, and I don't think that's the role of an artist. An artist is there because he's got a bird's eye view and he can actually, you know, lift people up. And I feel very strongly that that's what one should be doing.
So basically you're doing artwork for others, in a sense.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Do you think we need art in today's world?
Yes.
The creative streak seems to be there and yet seems to be lost at the same time, no?
Well, I feel very sad for all those people who think that they are not creative. And in fact, I give creativity classes, and that's because I'd like that everybody realise that they have a little door, and inside, every single person, even if they can't, you know, draw a pin man, they are creative because God was creative. And he spends 6 days having fun. And how does he have fun? By creating light and darkness and animals and colours and everything. And on the seventh day, he stops creating because he thinks, well, you know, there's something missing. And what's missing? It's someone to actually share this creativity with. So if I create, the whole purpose of creating is to then share it and communicate it with others.
Can I ask you what your dreams are?
My dreams, well, to be honest, I would love to decorate artistically through sculptures and paintings a church or cathedral. That's always been my dream.
What would you go for? Ceiling, fresco work, or altar, an altar?
Well, sculptures, crucifix, paintings. There's so much there, and through my theological studies at university, there's, you know, I have a sense of liturgy. Often I go into a church and I'm sad because they're not using the space, you know, in a way that can really touch people, and I find that it's a lack of an opportunity to really touch people's souls.
So you've been a lot of places, really. You even have theological studies.
Yes, yes, with the Jesuits in London.
Did you do that on your own, or was it part of a course you did?
No, it was after Oxford. I did Oxford, then I did a teacher training at Oxford, and then I went to University of London, to Heathrop College, to do pastoral theology.
Did you ever put it into practice?
Yes, I had one very enterprising parish priest who paid me as a parish assistant to brighten up the liturgy. And so my job basically was I went to every single mass during the week, and I sat at the back and I looked and I thought, how can we get more people into this church and how can we make mass more vibrant and more attractive? And it was great. I loved it. And
did it work?
And it did. Yeah, no, attendance went up quite a bit, yes.
And many thanks there to Pierre de Richemont, who has a play currently showing in Oxford, England, by the unusual title of Stilettos in the Key of G, a story loosely based on Romeo and Juliet, which recounts the chance encounter between a pianist and sculptor at a concert. Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.